Oilers fans, Canuck fans, Avs fans are all like, "What? Who's going to get Subban?" Like, Pierre and yourself, you guys don't just like to throw out stuff that isn't true. So it's obvious that these conversations have gone on. How serious do you think Bergevin is about moving Subban?
Well, he's serious. Otherwise, you know, you don't throw a name like that into the mix, or at least, you know, engage in a serious conversation, if not a negotiation, with a pretty intricate piece, I would say, integral piece of the Montreal Canadiens organization and community, unless you're serious. They're not going to give him away. They can't afford to do that. But there's also some sound business reasoning behind it, I think, as well. You know, P.K. Subban is a large ticket, heck of a hockey player. So, you know, deservedly so. He negotiated a fair extension and got paid top dollar. But that also has handcuffed the Montreal Canadiens to some degree. You look into their near future, and at some point they're going to have to renegotiate a deal with Carey Price, and what's that deal going to be worth? So, you know, this is the due diligence of a general manager, you know, trying to improve immediately, but also looking into the future and saying, okay, well, you know, if I do this, then maybe that frees me up to do that. So there legitimately have been conversations, as we know Jim Benning of the Vancouver Canucks has publicly acknowledged, and likewise with the Edmonton Oilers, and I believe that the Colorado Avalanche are in there to some degree as well.
Well, you look at the Oilers in Vancouver have the 4 and the 5 pick to dangle that they obviously have to add to it. Colorado's unique because Tyson Barrie, we've heard the rumblings there, like there's a legit NHL defenseman. You know, he's not as good as P.K. Subban. He's pretty close offensively anyway.
Yeah.
And maybe even a guy like Duchesne. Like Colorado, while their draft pick isn't as high, you know, they have the defense prospect that Montreal probably would covet more than what Edmonton or Vancouver would be willing to.
Yeah, I agree with that. And what we know from Joe Sakic is his ability to make a big splash this time of year. He did it a year ago in moving Ryan O'Reilly to the Buffalo Sabres. And it seems like there's an appetite in Colorado for significant change, not tinkering, like something significant. You move out two key pieces, and we're speculating that it would be Duchesne and or Tyson Barrie. And I mean, Landeskog's name has been thrown out there, but I think that's more media motivated than anything else. Duchesne's name has been out there for a considerable amount of time. That's a hockey deal, right? Mm-hmm. That's a hockey deal. But how close they are at this stage, we can't be sure. But the clock is ticking too, clearly, on the Montreal Canadiens with P.K. Subban's, you know, trade protection kicking in on July 1st.
If Subban's dealt, do you think it has to be done tomorrow because it's going to have to involve a high draft pick, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. But again, we'd need Marc Bergevin and the Montreal Canadiens to confirm that approach, and that ain't going to happen anytime soon. Again, I think it just depends on how sweet the offer is. There's no guarantee that he is going to trade P.K. Subban. Again, a very valuable commodity to the organization and to the city of Montreal. But this is real talk. This isn't media buzz. This isn't conjecture. This isn't a fabrication. This is real, and the heat has been turned up over the last couple of days.
Darren Dreger from TSN joins us. Now, there's a lot of other big names around. Like, there's been big names before, but, man, you got the Steven Stamkos factor, and that's huge. And that officially, I guess, starts on Saturday. Unofficially, maybe he's already started, like has happened before. But you look at teams. I hear in Buffalo, Terry Pegula, I've heard from so many people that he is really interested in making a splash at, you know, $11 million a year, maybe $12 million a year, which seems crazy numbers when you look at Stamkos coming off of what he's had the last 2 years. Where does Toronto, Buffalo, who else do you see as a realistic player in the Steven Stamkos sweepstakes if indeed he makes it to July 1st?
Right. The Detroit Red Wings, for me, are a prime contender for Steven Stamkos. And, you know, again, as a pending unrestricted free agent, obviously, you know, it's his decision. Where does he feel that he's the best fit? And that could very well be still staying with the Tampa Bay Lightning, even though, you know, again, you get to this point of the process. If the negotiation isn't good enough to sign off and extend, what makes you think it's going to get any better between now and July 1st? And I think there's significant value in the ability to get face-to-face with the player that you want to sign. So Tim Murray, the Buffalo Sabres, is likely going to be as convincing as he can be that Buffalo is the right fit for him. Likewise for Lou Lamoriello and the Toronto Maple Leafs. But in Detroit, you know, Detroit needs the star status of a Steven Stamkos. With Datsyuk now gone, you know, Zetterberg's certainly in the back nine. You know, Dylan Larkin, you can argue, is a budding star, but is he ever going to be an elite player like Stamkos? Probably not. They've got the new building, like Edmonton, coming. So, you know, it matters to the Detroit Red Wings to have somebody that they can sell jerseys in. And so I think that they're going to make a real hard play. 7 years is the maximum they can offer. I'd be real surprised if they came in less than $10 million or around $10.5 per year.
The Edmonton Oilers, there's been, you know, Peter Chiarelli hasn't backed off. He wants a right defenseman. Hasn't backed off that anybody other than McDavid would be open to it. There's Hall, there's Nugent Hopkins, and Eberle. And I think most would agree Hall's the one that would get you the most.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you could get what you really want to make a deal like that happen. Who do you think's the most realistic of those three to get dealt?
Well, yeah, Eberle's probably the most realistic, but doesn't it seem like we've been talking about Jordan Eberle being in play for a long, long time now? But, you know, again, if we're talking about P.K. Subban here as an example, obviously Chiarelli's got to move out some dough. You can't take, you know, a $9 million contract on long term when you're maybe staring at another $9 million contract in Connor McDavid 2 years from now. I mean, realistically.
I think he's probably 9.7.
He could be.
Easy, yeah.
He could be. We haven't nailed this down, so this is the world that we work in. You know, highly speculative. But there are some who believe that the Montreal Canadiens would want Leon Draisaitl, the 4 pick overall, and something else. And I just don't see Peter Chiarelli trading Leon Draisaitl.
I'm with you on that.
I don't see
I'm very bullish on a big, skilled, two-way, strong offensive guy, excellent passer on both hands. I'm with you because 6'3", 215-pound centers, there's like six of them in the NHL.
Yeah, real tough trade to navigate through. But, you know, unless Montreal were to back off that type of demand, it's not going to be the right fit. Might be a great fit, you know, from a dream perspective for Edmonton, looking at P.K. Subban. How often do those players come available?
Yeah.
Not very often. So you're going to do everything you can to at least exhaust the discussion, but exhausting that discussion might be as simple as Leon Draisaitl or nothing.
And Nail Yakupov obviously doesn't have much trade value, if any, but I look at him and his time in Edmonton, an Eastern team, New Jersey, Carolina, somebody, Carolina has a ton of cap space, just to maybe take a chance on a guy and you get a mid-round pick, which seems kind of crazy, 4 years removed from being the number one overall. But do you think he has any value other than that?
Not a lot, unfortunately, for Nail Yakupov. And, you know, that would be painful for him to hear and, you know, for those who represent him, obviously, to hear that. I think that the best that they could do would maybe be a third-round pick, but my understanding is they're having difficulty getting anyone to bite on a third-round draft pick. So maybe what you do is consider a tough contract or a player who's been somewhat disappointing or underdeveloped for a similar type of scenario. I know last year there were some discussions how serious they were or not leading up to the trade deadline, I should say, not last year, you know, with Winnipeg and Burmistroff.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, maybe he's a good fit for you in Edmonton, and maybe Nail Yakupov would be a good fit for us. But, you know, it just kind of fizzled out, didn't materialize.
And last year, the Dougie Hamilton trade surprised a few people, especially the return, I think, on that. Do you see a similar Jacob Trouba, Dougie Hamilton type move? Like, are the Jets and Trouba's camp that far apart? Is that legit, and do you think he gets dealt?
Yeah, I mean, there's still a considerable gap there. I talked to Kevin Cheveldayoff about this today. His goal is still to sign Jacob Trouba, but he's listening to interest, and there's a lot of interest. He wouldn't qualify the type of player that he's looking for. I was told that he was looking for a similar defenseman, left shot guy. So from Edmonton's perspective, who's that, Darnell Nurse or Oscar Klefbom? Well, you're not going to do that. You weaken yourself, even though you get maybe a hair stronger if you believe that Jacob Trouba ultimately is better. I don't know that he is, but that doesn't seem to be the right fit. So Cheveldayoff still has time in the negotiation with Jacob Trouba. But, you know, I think Calgary is the team to watch here
in
the next 18 to 24 hours or leading through the first round. I do. I think that
for more than a goalie.
I do. I do. In fact, we just talked about it on SportsCenter on TSN. And there's a buzz, a feeling that Edmonton wants to try Calgary wants to try and perhaps grab another pick in the top five. And some believe that they're talking to Edmonton about four. Now, I have, in my mind, I can't conjure up what sort of back and forth there would be. Would there have to be a third party, a third team involved to make it make sense? Yeah. But honestly, man, I mean, you've lived through this before. That's the type of speculation, not media-driven. I mean, this stuff is real. That's the type of speculation that often comes out, you know, when these guys get together, you know, at the draft. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. Yeah. Probably isn't going to happen, but that doesn't mean that they don't talk about it.
And out of the goaltenders, I think it was either you or Pierre, I follow both of you, I can't remember who tweeted out, but Bishop, is that their number one goal? And do you think Tampa Bay is more likely to trade sooner than Pittsburgh would?
I do. I talked to Jimmy Rutherford about Marc-Andre Fleury, and you know, with great respect for Matt Murray, who was pivotal in the Penguins winning the Stanley Cup, there's still a little bit of concern because of his inexperience. You go into next year, and you've traded away a two-time Stanley Cup winner, and all of a sudden there's some growing pains with Matt Murray, and you've got a problem. So Rutherford doesn't feel the urgency, even though now we know that the team is expanding Las Vegas and he's going to only be able to protect one. He feels like he can worry about that down the road. You know, the issue is more extreme financially in Tampa Bay with everything that Yzerman is facing. I know that Calgary, you know, likes Ben Bishop a lot. They're worried, though, that going into the final year of his contract, he's going to be a big, big ticket as an unrestricted free agent. So they need to find out first what kind of money is he looking for to take him out of free agency and extend that contract. And again, there are some who believe that maybe there's already been a dialogue or a connection between Calgary and the Bishop camp to see if there's a fit.
Drags, I really appreciate it. Oh, it's a busy time. I think Mark Bergeron is going to speak anytime soon, so he might have a few interesting things to say.
he'll probably say more interesting things in French than in English.
Thanks, Drags. Appreciate it.
All right.